Imagine a world where leaders genuinely put community before self, where philosophical education shapes moral character, and where public service is motivated by honor rather than wealth. This isn't some utopian fantasy. It's the leadership framework Plutarch outlined nearly two millennia ago, a framework that has guided figures from Shakespeare to Benjamin Franklin to Barack Obama. What's remarkable isn't just the longevity of these principles, but their continued relevance in our modern landscape. The qualities that made effective leaders in ancient Greece remain essential today, transcending time and cultural boundaries to speak directly to our contemporary leadership challenges. At the heart of Plutarch's leadership philosophy lies a radical idea: the inseparable connection between individual and collective prosperity. True leaders understand that their personal interests are fundamentally intertwined with community welfare. This isn't mere altruism, it's practical wisdom. When communities thrive, everyone benefits. When they decline, even the most privileged eventually suffer. Consider how Plutarch himself embodied this principle. Despite his wealth and connections to Rome's elite circles, he chose to personally oversee infrastructure projects in his small hometown. He recognized that leadership begins with service, not status. This perspective was uniquely informed by his dual identity as both Greek native and Roman citizen, allowing him to balance idealism with pragmatism. What separates a true leader from a tyrant? For Plutarch, the answer lies in philosophical education, not just academic knowledge, but the development of moral reasoning and self-mastery. Without this foundation, leaders become prisoners of their impulses, viewing constituents as threats rather than partners. The antidote is cultivating logos, reason, the capacity to control emotions through rational thought. This isn't about becoming coldly analytical, but developing self-regulation to act deliberately rather than reactively. The leaders we most admire maintain composure during crises while others panic, demonstrating emotional regulation guided by rational principles. Plutarch's ideal leader embodies godlike qualities, not demanding worship, but manifesting moral virtue. Like the sun illuminating the physical world, virtuous leaders light the path for others through example. Leadership is fundamentally about who you are, not just what you do. Transformative figures like Mandela or Gandhi derive their moral authority from embodying the principles they espoused. What should motivate leaders? Plutarch is clear. Public service must begin with freedom from greed. Those seeking personal enrichment inevitably corrupt their purpose and betray public trust. The true reward of leadership comes from serving well and improving community welfare. The best leaders refuse material rewards when possible, accepting only modest honors when necessary. Cato the Elder demonstrated this wisdom when refusing statues of himself, saying, "I would prefer to have people asking why there is no statue of me rather than why there is one." How do you launch a leadership career? Plutarch identifies two distinct paths. The first is the brilliant entrance, capturing public attention through spectacular achievement. This brings quick recognition and often avoids the envy that gradual advancement attracts. We see this when entrepreneurs make dramatic market entries or politicians rise through bold initiatives. The second path involves apprenticeship, attaching yourself to an established leader, learning the craft while building reputation and connections. This provides valuable mentorship and reduces early mistakes, though it requires patience. Modern examples include executives rising through corporate hierarchies or political figures serving in successive offices before seeking higher positions. When following a mentor, choose wisely, not merely someone powerful, but someone virtuous who nurtures talent. Plutarch contrasts Sulla, who elevated promising young men like Pompey, with Marius, who grew jealous of rising stars. Leadership inevitably involves building alliances. Plutarch warns against two dangerous extremes: severing all friendships upon taking office, leaving you with flatterers rather than honest advisors, or prioritizing friends' interests over public welfare, corrupting governance. The wise middle path involves selecting friends who share your commitment to the common good, treating them as partners in virtuous leadership. This requires discernment about which relationships to maintain and how to set boundaries. Ancient leadership styles varied widely. Some rulers personally managed everything, while others, like Pericles, focused on important matters and delegated routine tasks. Plutarch recommends strategic involvement based on importance and expertise, maintaining sufficient oversight for accountability. Effective leaders distribute responsibilities to qualified subordinates rather than attempting everything themselves. This acknowledges human limitations while developing others' capabilities. Pericles demonstrated this by sharing responsibilities with Cimon in Athens, recognizing their complementary strengths: Pericles in domestic policy and Cimon in military affairs. Modern organizational theory confirms this wisdom. Effective delegation multiplies a leader's impact while creating development opportunities for others. The most successful teams emerge when leaders match responsibilities to talents rather than micromanaging. The art lies in knowing when to intervene directly and when to trust others' capabilities, a skill born of experience and wisdom, not rigid rules. Plutarch's advice on operating within larger power structures remains remarkably relevant today. His guidance to Greek leaders under Roman rule applies perfectly to modern leaders navigating organizational hierarchies, regulatory frameworks, or competitive markets. He counsels leaders to understand their position within power structures and act accordingly. Pericles exemplified this by reminding himself daily when donning his general's cloak, "You are leading free people, Greeks and citizens of Athens," emphasizing both his authority and accountability. The art of leadership requires careful calibration, building trust with subordinates while earning respect from superiors. This doesn't mean servile compliance. Plutarch warns against unnecessarily referring minor matters to higher authorities, which diminishes autonomy. Instead, leaders should resolve internal conflicts through compromise, seeking external intervention only when absolutely necessary, much like effective middle managers who protect their teams from corporate interference while aligning with organizational goals. In our youth-obsessed culture, Plutarch offers a refreshing counter-narrative about leadership and age. He argues that wisdom, judgment, and temperance, qualities essential to good leadership, typically strengthen with age. While physical vigor diminishes, intellectual and moral capacities often reach their fullness in later years. Rather than retiring completely, older leaders should adapt their engagement. Like Alexander, who spared his aging Bucephalus for important battles, elder statesmen should focus on significant matters while younger people handle routine affairs. Elders serve best as mentors, providing private counsel rather than public confrontation. When leaders accumulate wealth through their position, they become vulnerable to corruption accusations and lose the moral authority needed for difficult decisions. The most respected leaders demonstrate commitment through sacrifice rather than accumulation. Leadership's highest reward is not material gain, but what one gives back through service. Plutarch views political engagement not as temporary, but as a way of life for a tamed political and social animal that continues throughout one's existence. Just as we wouldn't abandon aging parents, we shouldn't abandon our communities, which, though long-lived, are neither ageless nor self-sufficient. In an era of increasing polarization, this vision of leadership as a lifelong calling offers a compelling alternative to both cynical withdrawal and partisan warfare. True leadership wisdom lies in sustaining commitment to community welfare through all life seasons.